This week in your parents' basement, we play as one of the few characters somehow not in the Marvel or DC universe. From 1995, we're playing Comic Zone, a side-scrolling beat-em-up and puzzle game for Sega for the Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Todd Brisket.
Free at last in this body of flesh and bone.
And he's just a starving artist and a freelance rock musician trying to make his way through the world. It's Huell Hauser.
Oh,
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Write in or comment and get a plug on the show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend, and now you can support us by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Comic Zone from 1995. It was released in August of 1995, and it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up with highly stylized, coolly drawn graphics, and there's a bit of a puzzle element since there are some dead ends and some obstacles you have to get past with your rat companion. You played the role of starving comic book artist and freelance rock musician Sketch Turner. He's creating a new title, Comic Zone, but a lightning bolt strikes his comic, bringing it to life. It's just like a friggin' aha video, as Todd Brisket and I both thought before this show. He's drawn into his own world, and he has to fight through baddies that the evil Mortis is now drawing. So, Huell, I believe you nominated this game, since I'm not sure if you played it as a kid or if you just remembered it as, you know, one of the more unique games for the Genesis here.
Yeah, this was mostly a nostalgia pick. This was a frequent rental for me. I remember it as being unique. Like you said, it's very stylized. It's the world they create is very unique. The actual gameplay is pretty interesting. But I think the game itself is not as good as I remembered it.
No.
Unfortunately. It is extremely hard, very unforgiving, and somewhat repetitive. Like, it's great at first. You're like, whoa, I'm in a comic book. I'm moving between panels. Like, it's shifting around. But, like, one or two levels in, it just kind of gets repetitive, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like this game, the style is awesome. Like, the concept is great. It's just exactly, it gets repetitive, and it's also very difficult.
Yes.
All these games are too difficult, but it is quite difficult. There's little tips you can figure out on your second and, you know, subsequent playthroughs, but
yeah,
first time through it, it's just relentless and you die immediately.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, beyond the difficulty, it's kind of frustrating difficulty and just aspect that kind of put me off. Like, you know, there's not really any reason they couldn't just have a continue screen. Instead, you're shoved back to the title screen, and it takes a good minute or two just to restart the game when you do inevitably die over and over
and
over again.
Yeah, that's even more annoying. Like, it's not difficulty as in, like, it's like hard to describe because
it's a frustrating kind of difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, everything in the game hurts you.
Yes.
Like, even some attacks you do will hurt yourself. Like, and there's like no, very few, like heals, like health boosts and stuff like that. It's just,
well, here's
it's
a big
grind.
Issue.
It's more of a grind than anything.
A big issue is that, there are no continues and you just get kicked back to the title screen as soon as you die.
One life.
There's
exactly.
a few places where there's an obstacle, like a door, and to get through it, you have to start punching the door. But it starts taking away your life. It takes off your life bar, I guess, because you're breaking the bones inside your fragile hands. Hey, this guy is an artist, and he's using his tools to break open doors. He's breaking metal doors with his bare hands.
He's a pretty jacked artist. Let's not split hairs here.
Well, he's
anyway. I mean,
he's also a freelance musician, so he's got to
clearly
look good for the babes.
He's got a busy life, this Sketch Turner.
Well, that's how he stays in shape, is punching through metal doors.
Apparently not. He should be used to it, and it shouldn't hurt him if he was doing it all the time.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you just play the game like a normal person, you'd go and start punching the door and it would take your life away. But if you actually play through the game a few times, you figure it out. You're like, oh, I pick up this dynamite and I'm supposed to throw the dynamite at the door and blow the door up instead of using my fist to beat it down.
Well, you get like one dynamite every level. So, and each level usually has four doors you have to punch through. So.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you use the dynamite on the doors, then you can't use it on, like, the bosses that you come across, the, like, that kind of stuff.
Or the spinning fan you have to get through.
Right. Oh, the spinning fan, you actually have to use the you have to use the rat on the spinning fan.
Yeah, what's your rat companion's name?
Roadkill.
Roadkill, yeah.
Mm-hmm. we should mention that because this game came out in the mid-1990s, everything is quite extreme.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like,
there's a lot of extreme.
Radically extreme.
Like Sketch Turner is wearing like cargo jean shorts, and he's got a long ponytail, and he wears
I love his Aryan ponytail. I love his jean jacket vest.
It's like a denim vest, yeah. But it's it's like a ripped off sleeve jean jacket.
The Jay Leno collection.
Exactly.
I love his Waffen SS Oberführer glasses frames, like General Tot were in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I didn't really realize he is super Aryan. You're right.
I was thinking Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
But... Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
the circle glasses. Yeah.
This and also it's a good thing he is an artist since his name is Sketch Turner. That's not.
Yeah, that's very convenient that his parents named him that.
I'm glad. I'm glad that he had an affinity for artistry.
That's why my son is named Car Salesman Brisket.
I'm gonna name my eventual boy or girl Astronaut Greenwell.
Oh, exactly.
There you go. I guess they have bigger aspirations than my kids.
Well, you know, it's gonna be sad if she is then a janitor, but.
I was wondering what TJ Hooker's parents were thinking.
You read my mind, man. I was just going to say it's a good thing he's not named like Duke Turner or
Prostitute Jones.
there was actually.
You're a Dixie.
Brisket really liked that one.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live did have Astronaut Jones, played by Tracy Morgan, who was
the
character. I won't do Tracy Morgan since I feel like that would be the whitest thing I could possibly do on the show.
I won't even attempt it.
All right, so I guess talking about Comic Zone, the art style it's definitely the selling point of this game. It is legitimately still pretty impressive. Like I really liked it. Brisket and I both thought of Aha. I'm guessing you might have too, Hugh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where enemies don't just materialize out of nothing. The bad guy who is now the artist, his hand comes into the frame and sketches them onto the scene, which is, you know, that's kind of a cool little mechanic too there.
Yeah.
So it's weird. All of the kind of presentation elements of this game are spot on. The music is really good for a Genesis.
Yeah, it's rocking.
Game. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's rocking. And the animation the animation of the characters is good too.
Yeah, they move a little slower than in most beat 'em ups, but it's not. You know, it's still fairly responsive. So
yeah, I think that's just one of the things that makes this like a nostalgic. Mm-hmm. Classic is remembering all that style and the whole design of it.
This one came out at the tail end of the Genesis, right?
Yes.
95, yeah, probably.
So this is like, I mean, it does seem like it takes as much advantage of the Genesis blast processing that it can. It's very unfortunate that it's just not a better game to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's kind of what I meant. And this is in what is this, our 13th episode, 14th?
This is episode number 13. Lucky old 13 here.
This is the first time I used Teeb's famous Game Genie.
Oh.
In order to get anywhere, because I made it to I think the first part of the second level, and I just could not get any further.
I actually made it to the boss of the second stage, mm-hmm. which is that
the dragon
looking dragon.
I think that's where I stopped. Is that the second stage? Yeah, that must have been it. And I was just like, this is just too annoying.
That's as far as I got playing legit.
Same for me. So I'm like, I would like to actually play the rest. So I did the no damage sheets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now for this game, the farthest I could get legit was the boss of stage two.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the boss of like 2-2.
No,
it's more like 1-2.
Yeah, I think technically there are only 6 stages in this game.
Right.
1-1, you know, 3 levels, 6 stages, or however you want to phrase it. I also tried to use the Game Genie, and then I still had trouble jumping into the pit at the end of stage 1, which there's no real
chance. Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, and end of the very first stage.
That's what sucks is that in a video game you should not just beat the entire stage and then get to the very end and you just have to make one more jump and then you're done.
One last obstacle.
That shouldn't be something that exists in the game.
That's just a big F you.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, the other thing is there, like most games, kind of have a bit of a gentle learning curve, like. The first stage in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Nintendo, which is it's otherwise a really hard game. The first stage is pretty easy. Like you can't die on any spikes or anything, and it's mostly fun to just kill stuff. And then the second stage is the damn stage, which is
just die.
Yeah, you die by running through laser wires and seaweed.
The dam is where turtles go to die. They're like lemmings.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Comic Zone, like, even the very first enemy you run across, I did not manage to beat him without taking damage.
Then another one just shows up after that.
A big issue I had with this one as well. It is a beat 'em up, but you'll be in the middle of punching a combo on a guy, and he'll just kick you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to the fighting in this.
Yeah, it's not like Final Fight was always the first beat 'em up I really played, since I only kind of saw a Double Dragon. I didn't really play it that much when I was a kid. Final Fight, you know, you can stun enemies and, you know, they'll kind of hunch over so that you can finish out combos on them. No, you're right, Brisket. Like, just in the middle of a combo, you'll get interrupted by the enemy. And there's, as far as I know, there isn't a way to avoid that kind of damage.
Yeah, here's the secret I learned is if you go into the options, gentlemen, did you do this? Did you go into the options?
I did.
And see that you can change what the third button on your control does. Mm-hmm. By default, it blocks, which is useless. you can change it to be like a Shaolin kick or a shoulder rush.
So if you I did the bicycle kick.
Oh, the bicycle kick. Yeah, if you do one of those, you don't even have to get near guys. You just use that on them, and they fly away from you. You just keep using.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. That custom button. If you don't go in that menu, then it's a completely useless third button.
Yeah.
But you can make it like a stronger attack.
The
weird thing is that as a beat 'em up, usually that would take off your life, but in this one, it doesn't take your life.
It's the only thing that doesn't. That's probably why.
Oh, that is weird. I did not know that. I kept it as block because I figured I could just like manually input some of those. Like, oh, I double tap and then hit kick and that'll. Or punch, I guess, and that'll do the moves. But then I kind of forgot about it as I was playing the game here. I would use he has like a little uppercut you can use to kick to punch down some of the hanging guys on the pipes.
Some of the wasps.
Yeah.
Oh, those things.
Brisket, since you mentioned this game came out toward the end of the Genesis's lifespan, you are quite correct. After this game, there weren't a ton of new good releases. You had the yearly kind of Madden, NBA Live kind of stuff. Apparently, Virtua Fighter 2, it says, came out for the Sega Genesis, which sounds somewhat suspicious to me. But
yeah, I remember it on the Saturn. I don't remember it on Genesis.
I remember that the Virtua Fighters that came out for, like, 32X and Sega CD look like crap. I can't imagine a Sega Genesis version. I might have to explore that. But it was mostly, by that point, it was towards the end of the Genesis lifespan. So yeah, we did mostly get sequels. Vector Man 2, which we talked about a little bit on past show. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, another Sonic game. Those kind of games came out after Comic Zone. And that was kind of it. Sega notoriously gave up way too soon on the Genesis and tried to get people to switch to the Saturn and basically didn't support the system. Whereas Nintendo just kept selling Super Nintendos and Super Nintendo games. Like well past, you know, well into the 32-bit era here.
So. And Nintendo loves stretching the limits on a console's lifespan.
Well, Sega, they quickly moved on to the Saturn and the 32X. Nintendo had, there's a little bit of overlap between them pushing the Nintendo 64 and still making Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Which seems like somewhat insane. Like I feel like those are two completely different eras, but you are correct, Todd. Like they, you know, it's weird that they were still developing games for both. It's weird now. Just to continue with this tangent a bit, there's like a homebrew scene for the Genesis where I'm not sure why. I'm guessing it must be more easy to program for than the Super Nintendo, or maybe people can get carts easier or something like that. Because you know, I've mentioned Pure Solar, but there's a couple other homebrew games, and there's people are doing things like someone is trying to port Wolfenstein 3D to the Sega Genesis. I'm not entirely sure why. So it does have like a weird second life here. As a homebrew machine,
it's just a bunch of nerds.
You're that nerd. to kind of continue with the history here, Comic Zone, it has the unique art style, so it has made it a popular cult classic, and you know lots of people are still interested in checking it out since its release. Starting in 2007, it was made available in online stores for the Wii, PlayStation, and Xbox, and it's also on Steam now. The Steam version is the easiest one to purchase since it's, you know, if you have a PC, you can get it, and it goes for $3. The other re-releases are around $5 or $20 if you want it in a Sega Classics collection, which also comes with stuff like Streets of Rage, Phantasy Star V, Phantasy Star 4 and 3. I mean, you know, that kind of cool stuff. If you want the Genesis version, the cart alone is pretty affordable. It's about $10 with a range of 15 to 30 for the box and the manual. So
I think the $3 on Steam is about fair.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, if you have the nostalgia for it, it's okay. Yeah. There's a load of better games you can get for $3 though.
Oh yeah.
But speaking of the releases, I'm going to pull a Corolla here. And if you guys would click that link I just sent.
Yes.
Check out the Japanese cover to this game. It is incredible. It's like a manga style. We drew it in anime style.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that chick.
It's amazing.
The chick just looks like Sketch Turner in a wig.
Yeah.
They didn't even try.
She really
and there's does. Two there's two Sketch Turners on the front too.
Yeah, why is there two?
All right, so have you guys seen The Goonies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why would you even ask?
For the Japanese cover art, it just looks like the mentally handicapped man from The Goonies with a blonde wig. That's what Sketch Turner looks like to me.
His name is Sloth.
Sloth.
This looks like
you're right. Yeah. His eyes are a little bit more even, but you're right.
It's the weird like side cut ponytail look. It's just not a great look.
If you have a hugely receding hairline, like all the way to the back of your skull,
mega boat slips. Yeah.
Should you keep going with that ponytail, or just shave your head?
It's all he's
got.
Just
shave your head, Sketch.
Poor Sketch. I mean, I think we're supposed to think that he's a cool hip starting artist. starving artist, but I don't think they ever share his age in the game, and it's not on Wikipedia. He could be a 45-year-old man.
Yeah, I'm saying like late 30s at the earliest.
This is his life.
He's probably...
You know what? Sketch is probably just like methed up and like shot up with heroin. He's hallucinating this entire thing. He's like, hey man, I'm going into my comic books now.
Gotta punch this door.
Gotta punch this.
It's just as bad.
Oh, there's a huge wasp here. No.
What are these scorpion alien things? They're crawling all over me.
It is kind of cool when you beat an enemy. They kind of turn into like pixels, like they
shred into paper, right?
Yeah.
They
blow up and they just blow away in the wind. Mm-hmm.
Now, did either of you get to the ending?
Yeah.
I did not get to the ending, but I watched some videos.
With the Game Genie, I got the bad ending. Because apparently there's a good and a bad ending.
I think Wikipedia has a pretty good description here, so I'll read that off and then we can comment. I did see the ending as well. At the end of the game, Alyssa, who is General Alyssa Cyan.
Yeah, Alyssa Cyan. Ooh, man, smoke show.
Ooh,
yeah, her glasses. Her parents apparently like colors, so she's named after a color, Cyan. Mm. At the end of the game, Alyssa attempts to defuse a nuke when Mortis comes in the comic and throws her into the chamber, which starts to fill up with liquid.
The chamber.
Yep.
Chamber. The chamber and the liquid.
Mortis then battles Sketch. If the player defeats Mortis and the creeps he summons quickly enough to drain the liquid and save Alyssa, an ending occurs where Alyssa comes to the real world with Sketch.
Ooh.
Comic Zone is a huge success, being sold out on its first day, and Alyssa joins the army, eventually becoming chief of security for the United States.
What?
Hey.
Roadkill is given a vast amount of mozzarella cheese and spends a lot of time exploring the city's new sewer system when not sleeping under a pile of Sketch's dirty socks. If the player defeats Mortis after the chamber fills with liquid, Alyssa dies. Sketch comes out, but his comic is destroyed. The last sentence in the cutscene says, "Will Sketch recreate his adventure for a happier ending?"
Yeah, that's the one I got. She drowned it.
There's also apparently an Easter egg in the if you beat, I actually couldn't verify whether this was correct because there's no way I could do this. It says if you beat it 3 times in a row, then you get a cutscene with the bad guy. Apparently, Mortis is still alive, like a cliffhanger kind of thing.
Sort of like Shaq Fu.
Yes, exactly.
When Beast comes onto the court.
Yeah.
Although it's
so similar.
I will say there's been a Kickstarters for a lot of different games. This is one I wouldn't mind seeing a proper sequel for.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not sure
if it's like a
real game. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, if it was a proper longer sort of game, I think I feel like the art style hasn't been redone by another game. There's been stylized graphic games that kind of rely on that, like Journey kind of has like a unique aesthetic, and I haven't played them, but doesn't Ico have one as well?
They made a Journey game.
Yes.
Journey, the indie darling,
like with Steve Perry.
Huel, you might. I don't know if you're trying to be funny or not, but you are correct. They did also make a Journey game.
Oh, there perfect. Stige,
you trying
too...
to be funny? Get out of here! How dare you?
There's Journey, the indie game, and where you're isolated and you're wandering through the desert. And there's also a 1983 Journey game, which was an arcade game meant to capitalize on the band. So, Brisket, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, I was going to say there have been some stylized games that have come out. Like you said, Borderlands with its cell shading was considered a nice style. The Suda 51 guy from Japan, where he makes those No More Heroes and Killer 7, those are made in a comic book style.
Oh, yeah. Anything cel-shaded, pretty much.
Yeah. So there have been some attempts at some comic book stylings.
Oh, yeah.
But none of them were actually in the comic, like the frames and stuff like that.
True. Yeah.
That's what set this one apart.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not like Sega can say they have a patent on that, since it's, you know, it's just friggin' comic book. No More Heroes. I actually played that a couple years ago. I liked it, but I didn't get through it. And the same thing with since we're talking about distinctive art styles, that game Mad World, which is in black and white, and it's super. Right.
Oh yeah, I heard real good things about that one.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but it's also I played through like three or four stages, and it got kind of repetitive to me. It's cool to check out, but it's not anything you gotta go out of your way to play. Brisket, do you have any other thoughts here on Comic Zone?
Yeah, we were talking about the characters of the game: Sketch Turner, mm-hmm. Alyssa Cyan, the general of the New World Empire. I have a list of some other characters in the game.
Oh,
you don't mind?
Let me think. I think there was about six different enemies throughout the entire game.
Let me tell you what we have here. We have, of course, Mortis, who is the main villain of Comic Zone. We have Roadkill, the rat. We have Strigil, a shadowed alien renegade. We have Gravis, a giant muscled alien renegade.
Is it the red guy?
I don't know which one that is. Let's see. Steam comes out of the vents on his back.
Yeah.
He relies. Yeah, I think that.
That's okay. The red one.
We have Styx, a monk found in the Tibetan city. He has
dude,
a stick.
The dude with a staff, okay.
Yeah. We have Mongoria, a dangerous woman warrior who uses a hook attached to her long braided hair.
She was annoying.
We have Pelagus. This renegade prefers to grasp onto anything used for climbing. I think this is the guy with the hooks.
I thought that was a Strigil, the first guy you said.
Strigil.
So I don't know who that was.
Oh, that is. Yeah, you're right. I don't know who that is. All right, okay. We have Pelagus.
Someone with hooks?
Pelagus, the renegade, prefers to grasp onto anything used for climbing. His methods of attacking involve slime balls and springs that will turn into mines.
Is that the green little alien?
No, I think that is a spawn mutant.
Of course.
These mutants are spawned from ooze.
Yeah, that's the ooze.
We have a cocoon crawler. That's pretty obvious. Here's one very unique and original name. It's called Flying Creature.
Oh.
We have Big Mama Dragon. That is that uvula-looking thing hanging down from the ceiling. We have Kung Fung.
Oh, Master Kung Fung, of the Temple of course.
On the Mountains.
The fingernails guy.
That brings us back to Mortis. So that's a list of characters.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, not many enemy types in this one.
No, and on one hand, some of those names do seem kind of simple. But then again, it is supposed to be a comic book that they're emulating here. So, you know, comic books normally have kind of cheesy names.
This is the mind of Sketch Turner.
True.
The drug-addled mind of Sketch Turner.
So what I was thinking is, like, Sketch, you are, I mean, I like your style, kind of, but you need to come up with a better story.
Yeah, he should be the artist. He needs to hire a writer.
Yeah, he needs a Stan Lee or someone, a Chris Claiborne. Is that the guy who did all the classic X-Men runs? I feel like it might be.
Is that Claremont?
Yeah, there you go, probably. I don't know. I'm not a big comic book.
He's the Jack Kirby to his Chris Claremont.
There you go.
Hmm.
I had something now I've lost it. Oh well. Kung Fung. Oh, I remember. I did share with you guys a little bit of Game Center CX, which is also known as Retro Game Challenge. I think I said last week that he's an older Japanese man, but he's in his 30s or 40s, and he plays through video games.
But they do call him old, like they always refer to him as an old man on the show.
Yeah, but I think that's more because he's not like 18, and if you're not 19 or 18 in Japan, you shouldn't be playing video games. Like,
oh okay,
I don't know. They
remind me not to move to Japan.
No, it's I've seen a lot of episodes of the show, and they kind of portray him as like a bumbling office manager type, and that's why it's funny that he's playing these games. So he was trying. He actually managed to beat this one, I believe.
What? He got the bad ending. But here's the thing. He did beat it, but it took him like 7 hours to do it. And
yes,
like 15 run-throughs.
Yes, the concept of the show is that he just plays through these games straight. Like, he is in a room playing these. So he did not leave that room for the 7 or 8 hours.
So he's not allowed to leave? Is it one of those situations?
No, I'm sure they do edit out bathroom breaks, but you can tell from some of the episodes, you can just tell from his fatigue level that he has literally been playing the game for 12. I think one of them, he plays Super Mario Brothers 3 for like 12 or 15 hours straight. And he, spoiler, he does not beat that one. Even though he has 99 lives and he can't beat Super Mario Brothers 3. So it was a tough game for him, but he could manage Comic Zone.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it's Savant-like, I guess, in a way. Whereas this game, I just could not get good at it. I probably put in an hour and a half, 2 hours on it total, and I just couldn't get past that second stage. Whereas I feel like if I devoted myself, I could get better, like RC Pro-Am and some of the other games we've played, like Gradius, I did okay at. So
yeah, I don't see any skill in this game.
Yeah,
like there's no like blocking, there's no like combos. It just
Right.
It's just brute force pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, and you know, there are kind of puzzle elements where if you, there are yeah. more.
You said that in the beginning, you're very generous calling this.
Well, it's like, should I jump into the fire or push the box into the fire?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a switch pretty high up on the wall, but I have this box here. I should probably just punch through the door.
Well, the one thing I noticed where Areno, when he was playing this game, he used...
Is that the Japanese guy?
Yeah, yeah. He uses the rat pretty well, where the rat can, find shortcuts through stages, and he can find... There are hidden items. Yeah, there are a bunch of items hidden.
That's probably what I was missing.
Yeah, which...
And also, he kind of nibbles on the feet of those Mongolia enemies and distracts them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But then there is the danger in some of the stages, he can just get killed.
Oh, yeah, he's not invincible. You got to pick him back up.
Yeah.
Die once or twice.
Yeah, at which point you don't have him, and you do need him for, like, you need him to get switches in some places. Otherwise, you have to take a ton of damage, and, you know, some of the stages you just can't beat then because you die when you're punching a door.
Yeah. Or a bomb.
Well, the worst is like when you're down to a sliver of health and there's a door blocking you and you don't have any dynamite to blow the doorway. So you just punch yourself to death against the door because exactly. There's nothing else you can do.
Just stand there.
Yeah.
Wait to die.
It would be one thing if this game had the mechanic of if you just stood around, you regained health, because I feel like that might work.
A little bit.
But then again, there are a lot of ways they could have, you know, made this a lot easier, giving you lives or...
There's tons of ways.
Yeah, yeah. Let you continue from the last stage you died at. That would have been nice. So that definitely added to my frustration factor, the fact that I had to start over again from 1-1 every time I died, not even, you know, the few times I got to 1-2, I can just continue from there. So
yeah, that would have been
nice. Brisket, did you have anything else to add about this game?
Nope.
All right. Well, Huel, anything from you?
No, it's about a wrap. I'm glad we could enjoy some elements, but overall, pretty bad.
Classic Genesis game.
Exactly. Aesthetically pleasing, not so great on the gameplay.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of been a bugaboo with the Genesis games we've covered.
I think Vector Man was very good.
I think Vector Man falls in the same category as Comic
Get
Zone.
Get out of here. It's way better than Comic Zone. way better.
I don't think so. If I were to choose a deserted island question here.
Oh, boy.
Vector Man or Comic Zone? I might go Comic Zone on this one.
That's absurd.
I'd probably go Vector Man. But if
I feel like I could get better at Vector Man. I don't think I could get better at this.
Yeah. And also, Vector Man has 20-something stages, correct?
Yeah, you're in like the mid-teens or something.
Yeah, Comic Zone, it does look really cool, but at the end of the day, it only has 6 stages. And it's not like, you know, it's not like we're talking, you know, 20-minute stages here.
Like, yeah.
Like, even though I wasn't good at it, I could beat the first stage, and I think my time was around 3 or 4 minutes, I want to say. And some of that is just standing around and watching Miss Cyan talk to you, watching the general talk.
I did like pausing the game, gave you the time.
Yeah. Hey, guys, did you see this? If you tap down repeatedly, Sketch Turner rips a fart.
Oh, that is obscene.
Little green gas comes out.
I do not appreciate this at all. And as soon as we're finished, I'm gonna go try that.
He can also apparently rip part of the page, and that gives you a projectile paper airplane.
That is how you have to get past a few panels. Like there's
and
one
guess
panel.
What? It takes health away.
It does take health away, yeah, it's ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. But there's some panels where they force you to do it. Like there's one where there's a flame throwing tower, and you cannot get next to it to punch it. You have to throw an airplane at it.
Or there's a giant spike and like 4 bombs behind it, and it's just like if you punch through one, you're just gonna punch through bombs. So you have to like throw this, and it's like his strongest attack. It just starts blowing up stuff, and it's a paper airplane.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
This game definitely isn't.
No.
I will say, Brisket, given your hypothetical situation, I would say if it was changed to if you had to show one of the two games to impress someone like who wasn't into games, I feel like Comic Zone probably – it does have that kind of wow factor to it where you're like, this is cool, like way more than Vector Man. But that's – like Vector Man to me, it plays a lot better. So it's a deeper game.
Yeah.
So, well, it sounds like we're done chatting about Comic Zone here. So let's move on to the email portion of the show. Brisket, I believe you have an email.
Yes, I received an actual letter in the mail to my house, not an email.
Oh, good.
It's just a one-page letter filled with symbols. I haven't quite figured out the cipher to it yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure who it's from, but it's signed by what looks like a crosshair. It's got a circle with a cross through it.
So a cipher, if you will. Okay.
I think maybe they wanted to ask us if we play many first-person shooters. How about you guys?
Oh, like a little crosshair. Shooter. Okay. I get it. Not recently, really, but there was probably a time in my life where that's basically all I played.
Oh, yeah?
It was like the early 2000s was probably the biggest time for first person.
Oh yeah, that was big time.
The heyday. Yeah.
The heyday, you got your Counter Strikes,
like
you
every
got your,
big game, yeah. Half Life.
Your Team Fortresses.
The GoldenEye / Perfect Dark. You had all the new Quakes, all the I don't even know. They had other James Bond games. They had even Metroid went first person shooter.
Yeah.
There was a big time where it was like every game came out.
Yeah, FPS. And first-person shooters. They're not my favorite genre. I prefer the old RPG or strategy type game.
Mm-hmm.
But I've played many first-person shooters over the years. My favorite of all time is probably, just from nostalgia factor, is Duke Nukem 3D.
Oh,
I have that entire game memorized.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of somewhat surprising.
Not a good game.
Not a good game. Are you kidding me? When that came out, it blew my mind. You can go to strip clubs.
Why? Because you could throw money at pixelized boobies. And
You can go and take a leak in the toilet.
You could find porn mags. You could go pee-pee.
And the police are actually physically pigs.
Yes. Oh, it's clever. It's very clever.
It's an allegory about our times.
And he had a lot of awesome quotes.
Oh, please share.
Oh, I have to look some up now. All I can remember is...
Oh, all these awesome quotes that are timeless.
Chew bubblegum. Come get some. Come get some.
Yeah, I played
and
that.
It's got an awesome theme song, too. Rock out to that one.
Oh, you guys remember Turok? That was a good...
Yeah, Turok.
Dinosaur Hunter?
Yeah, Turok the Dinosaur Hunter. He killed dinosaurs.
N64 classic.
I feel like if Jurassic World has taught us anything, it's that people love dinosaurs. And also people love shooting dinosaurs. And
you know what people love more than dinosaurs is being a Native American that shoots dinosaurs with a bow and arrow.
Yes, an exploding bow.
Yeah. And also, don't you get grenades as well and rocket launchers in that game?
Well, Turok 2 gave us that head drill thing. What was that called?
Oh, the head drill, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I forget what its actual name was.
That's what it's called, is the head drill.
Is that it?
One word, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's one of those series that kind of fizzled out. But then again, I feel like if it was still around now, it would not be well received.
Probably not.
Well, I don't know. Because one of the biggest games out on the PC, the Steam right now, is called Ark. And that is a massively multiplayer first-person game where you are surviving in a land of dinosaurs. And what you do is you shoot your bow and arrow at the dinosaurs, and then you also throw your poop at the dinosaurs.
Seems like the big selling point there.
Yeah.
It's very realistic.
I feel like that might just enrage the dinosaurs, though.
Maybe they just get diseased. And fall over.
They catch the flu.
In a few days.
You can do that to kill a boss in Metal Gear 3, I think.
Really?
Yeah, the
Metal Gear Solid 3?
No, whatever Metal Gear game has the end in it.
Yeah.
The old
Snake Eater.
Yeah, the sniper guy. If you get to him and then just stop playing the game for 3 weeks and come back to it, he dies.
Yep. What? What?
Because he's so old.
Yeah, because he's a million years old.
Really?
Yeah, it was... I know...
Metal Gear games have weird stuff in there like that.
Yeah, there's also...
That's like Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Real-time... it reacts to your local weather report.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's also, in that same game, I believe there is a boss you can kill by poisoning his food or leaving poisoned food for him to eat. So, the Metal Gear games to me are somewhat insane, but insane in a kind of cool way. Like,
yeah, they're pretty wacky.
Yeah, like they're just going for it. Like how Snakes on a Plane just goes for it. it just embraces the insanity.
Robbed at the Academy Awards.
Clearly. Huel, since Brisket's email, mentioned first-person shooters, it's weird. I don't really like horror movies or gory movies, or I'm not super into gory TV shows, but it's the opposite for the first-person shooter games, where I always like stuff like Doom. Doom is probably my favorite, and I also liked Quake. So, those kind of games where you're fighting monsters as opposed to monsters and demons as opposed to the squad-based stuff. The squad-based stuff I've not liked as much. Like even Halo feels a little weird to me, and I didn't go as gaga for Half-Life as everyone else.
I love Half-Life.
I still definitely want to play Half-Life 3 when it comes out. Hopefully I'll be alive. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm gonna
be nice if we're still around.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm leaving it in my will for my children to bury a copy with me eventually.
At some point.
Yeah. In 2132.
All right. I'm gonna mark that on my calendar. There we go.
I hope you're still around by then.
Yeah. Put it down as an official release date. Between that and I do hope they make another Portal game. I feel like you can do some more with Portal.
They might be waiting for the year 3000 to line up with Half-Life 3. That's my theory.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, GLaDOS is a an AI, so she doesn't die really.
Oh no.
Emails. Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact. I received one email, and it is from frequent emailer ScooterButt42.
Oh, Scooty.
Yeah. So Scooty writes, "Hello, YPB. Thank you for the great advice last week. You really know how to keep a guy going. As I sit here eating three-day-old donuts in the internet cafe, I'm trying to think of more questions for the podcast. I love listening to you guys talking about the games you've been playing. I have what some would call limited funds, but I've been wanting to play some new games. What are some of your favorite free games to play? Please keep them free. Please, God, keep them free. Your biggest fan, ScooterButt42.
Well, Scooty, you're in luck because something we just talked about, Team Fortress 2 is free.
Oh, that's good.
So you can hop into that one, start getting your cheeves and your party hats.
On the PC.
On the PC, yep. Yeah.
I'm sure the Internet Cafe would allow him to download new games.
This is not classy of me at all, but some of the more casual games I like to play is on Facebook. They have Marvel Avengers Alliance.
Oh yes,
which is, I don't know, it's basically a turn-based RPG kind of thing with Marvel characters. It's kind of cheesy, but I like playing it. It's actually something I'll just waste time with when I'm sitting at meetings for work, and people are just kind of going on, and I normally don't want people to see the notes I'm taking, so I'll just alt tab over to the Marvel game.
Well, it's funny that you're actually hiding your work with games, and most people hide their games with work. So
yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic there.
To be clear, when I say when I say meetings, I don't mean like office space. I mean more like Parks and Recreation, where I'm covering town hall meetings, and
right,
I don't want members of the general public seeing what I'm writing about this meeting that's going on.
This hairy guy won't shut up.
I literally do write notes like that because if I don't know someone's name at first, I'll describe them.
Get him a nickname, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like pudgy guy in pink shirt.
Well, that's what I do that in my work too. People get nicknames like Scoots and stuff like that because they're like scooting their feet across the ground.
Scooties. Well, works
one guy was Frodo, for obvious reasons.
We had a Hobbit once, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody gets a nickname until actually interact with them.
Oh no.
Well, I have to be careful because it's working a little too well because a couple of weeks ago someone said, "Oh, whenever I look at you, you're just playing a video game at these meetings." So, and the other free place I go to for games is Kongregate.com, which has like tower defense games. It has some like low key action games and RPGs that are kind of fun to play. Like Gemcraft is on there, and it has
Gemcraft is good.
Yeah, and have you guys ever heard of the concept of idle games, IDLE games?
Yeah, like clicking games?
Yeah, they're essentially just games where you click and
yeah.
Those sometimes I can oddly get into those cuz they're also easy to play at meetings.
What are some examples?
Well, there's Cookie Clicker is one of the first ones about a year ago. It, basically what you do is like there's something that appears on the screen and you have to click it, and the faster you click it, the more power up you get, or the more points you get. You spend those points to upgrade your clicking to make it more powerful. You spend those points to create an auto clicker that will click for you.
I see.
So the more you click, the faster it goes. But then it's you can just leave it running in the background, and it's clicking from your auto clicker.
Yeah.
Oh.
And every time I rationalize that in my head and I explain it, when I try to explain it to others, I'm like, this sounds like the stupidest thing ever. Why am I playing any of these? And then, like, every couple of weeks, I'll just be like, huh, you know what? Let me see how I'm doing on Adventure Capitalist, which is one of the that's the clicking game I'll kind of play, which has you buying, like, lemonade stands and car washes, and they make money for you. So, I don't know. I've always kind of liked math and that kind of stuff. Like, I've always been into simulation games, and clicking games are kind of built off of simulation games to me. So,
no, I played one called Bitcoin Billionaire that seems very similar.
Yeah, that does sound like something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You tap on the screen and just mine coins.
Yeah.
And you spend those coins and do investments to just get the coins for you.
Yeah.
It was horrible, but I beat it anyway.
Exactly. Like, you're like, oh,
what am I doing?
I could be playing before the pod fired up. We were talking about how I have the second Batman game, and I've had it for like 3 or 4 years now, and I haven't played it. Even though, like 2 or 3 months ago, I played the first Batman game, which I also had. I loved it, and I was like, I gotta play the second game, and nope, haven't started it yet. I have played these friggin' I have played these idle games like 20 times since then, though. So
it's so easy to get into, and then once you're into it, you just kind of just keep going.
Oh my god, it's a vicious circle here.
You're the worst.
Did you have any free recommendations for old Scooty there, Huel?
Well, mine were a few like iPhone apps, and I'm not sure Scooty could really access them necessarily.
Oh.
But I know that like mostly like puzzle games. There's a lot of good free puzzle games. Like 2048 is a fun one that came out maybe a year ago. We slide around and add the numbers together.
Yeah, I've played that one. I like that.
It's addictive.
Yeah, there's a new one that friend of the show, Paul, mm-hmm. recommended called Capitals on the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I did play that. I hate it.
You hate it? I love it. It's awesome.
Well,
it's not about creating the longest word. It's about creating the correct word to take over somebody else.
I know, but the people I'm playing don't never play back, and I just got annoyed.
Oh, that's why you don't like it?
Well,
like to play it. Yeah, that's
when it comes to those phone games. There are a wealth of kind of traditional games that you can get that are kind of fun to play. Like there's Family Feud. I got into for a little bit. I play this game called. It's weird. Me and my mom play it. It's called Ruzzle.
Your mom.
She likes those kind of games. It's called Ruzzle, and it's basically Boggle for your phone.
Ah.
There's a good
free Monopoly one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, and
very intense.
Yeah, the free Scrabble one I feel like changes names every couple of years. Cause,
the Words with Friends.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the Scrabble company sends cease and desist to people. But
right.
Yeah, Words with Friends was. Did people still play that? It was pretty huge for a while.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Isn't there also a drawing game?
Oh yeah, what was that called?
Drawsome?
Drawsome?
No.
Oh.
Am I making that up?
Draw anything?
Yeah, draw anything.
Like that, yeah.
I think it was draw some, and then it was draw anything.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like it's like Pictionary.
If there isn't, there should be. We'll have to get our development team on that.
Yeah.
What is this? It looks like looks like a rooster that's spitting. What's going on?
No, it's a rocket ship. It's shooting off towards the moon. I only got one email this week. I say that every week, but I think I've only ever gotten one email.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Hey guys, both StarCraft II, The Wings of Liberty, and The Virtual Boy came out this month in history. Which one did you like more? Sincerely, Ken Burns.
Hmm.
Oh, well, Ken Burns, yeah.
That's,
wonder if he's working on a new doc related
maybe
to
video game Vidges. Documentary, yeah.
Yeah, video games.
You never know.
I've actually never played StarCraft II. I like StarCraft. I like the story.
What?
I just... You're saying what to me, and you don't like Diablo?
Oh, come on. They're completely different. Just because they're both Blizzard doesn't mean...
Oh, every Blizzard game is the same.
Huel is very in touch with his Korean heritage. That's why he's very StarCraft.
One half of me is burning with rage.
Here's the thing. Like, I wouldn't buy StarCraft because... I mean, I wouldn't buy it at full price when it comes out, just because I would play through the story once and be done with it. I'm not into the competitive aspect or playing online in a strategy game like that.
Oh, no, I can't. No.
So I would pick it up on sale, but I just haven't gotten around to picking it up yet.
It's not much different from the first one.
Yeah, considering, I believe StarCraft II, well, it's split up into three parts. The third part has not come out, even though the first part of the second one came out like 4 or 5 years ago at this point.
Oh, boy.
And they're still going to use the same game engine. So I don't... Blizzard is notorious for just delaying things forever, and they will not release it until they like it, to the point where they...
Which is good. You know, that a lot of companies are getting in trouble for releasing buggy games now.
It's good, but it's also...
There's a middle ground.
Frustrating. Yeah, they are on the... the far end of the spectrum here, along with like Valve, is kind of the same way, it seems like, where we just talked about Half-Life 3, where they, you know, it would just be bizarre if they're not working on it at all, but they refuse to release any information or anything about that game. So Blizzard is also somewhat secretive, and you know, I liked StarCraft 2. I agree with you, Huel, it's really not that much different from StarCraft 1. Like, you know, it's a little easier to play. It has some RPG elements in that you keep the same heroes from level to level, and they can kind of gain powers, and you can, you know, kind of...
It's like Warcraft 3.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And there's some of the single-player levels were a little different. Like, they tried... to mix it up a little bit, rather than just here's your base, build it up and go attack the other base, you know.
Yeah.
They had some like timing issues, or like certain areas you can only access during certain parts and like stuff like that. So the level design was really better.
Yeah.
But the game itself, I think, was almost the same, just with better graphics.
Actually, now that we're talking, this reminds me, I bought like the third installment, I want to say like a year and a half ago, and I really got to check with Amazon, or it may have even been eBay. No, it had to have been Amazon, to make sure it still has the right address on my apartment for that. Like, that's how long ago I bought that game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of an odd thing. Ken Burns asked us to decide between StarCraft II and the Virtual Boy. Like, I played the Virtual Boy a little bit at Walmart back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, just because I haven't played StarCraft 2 at all, I have played 100% more Virtual Boy, because I played it at, like, Target.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend, it was a famous, you know, I had a friend who had it.
Oh, really?
And so I played it a bit. It was pretty bad. So I'm gonna have to side with StarCraft 2 on this one.
It wasn't that bad. It really depended on the games. Like, it was bad to play because you had to hunch over, look into this device. But
that's what
the
I mean.
The games themselves were kind of innovative. Like the Mario, or was it a Wario game, where you had to jump back and forth from the foreground to the background? That was pretty cool.
Well, that was the first Mario Tennis game too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it became a big hit on 64 and GameCube.
Yeah, and they had a boxing game, which that certainly seems like it could have been cool. Fittingly, it's always noted.
That's a good tagline for the Virtual Boy. It could have been cool.
Yeah.
It fits almost all of it.
Fittingly, the last game that came out for the system was Waterworld, which...
Oh, boy.
Which every...
Oh. Oh, man.
Every article about the system notes that, which, you know...
Appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Since you mentioned that a friend had it, I would like to mention one of my coworkers has been listening, and he's mentioned he actually owned a Sega CD back in the day, which he is now the only person I know.
Did he get a little Night Trap action on?
I asked him about that, and he does remember Night Trap. He was telling me about other games he played. I think he likes Sonic Spinball and kind of the normal games. So.
Of course.
Yeah, Sega and their add-ons. The Sega CD actually had some good games. I was looking over the 32X library, and wow, I don't think there's a single game on there that is worth checking out at this point. It's all bad. So they had quite the knack for crap in the late 90s.
The knack for crap. Their lesser known slogan.
I like good slogans tonight.
Yeah, not quite as good as Genesis does what Nintendo don't. So, all right, I think that's it for the emails. Todd Brisket, did you have anything else to add before we signed off for the night?
Yeah. What are these liquid cells anyway?
And Huel, last thoughts from you.
Just like to say, what a trip.
All right, then. Is that from the game or just...
It was, yeah.
I'm not remembering all of the stunning dialogue that I...
It's one of the times he turns into a superhero man and doesn't understand what's happening.
Oh, that would explain it.
I don't understand what's going on with my body.
I've drew this.
My body is changing.
It's going through changes.
That would explain it because you need to beat a stage to see that. So,
yeah.
Wah, wah. All right. On that note, we're going to play you with a little snifferoo for next week's game, which we will have a special guest with us, hopefully. So here's the snifferoo.